Sportsnet 650.
Jarius Jackson coming back. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I just got finished kind of a little text conversation with Jarius here in the last 10 or 15 minutes. This is all, you know, brand new news to me as it is.
Could you read us the text? Could you just read us the text? And that'll work. You don't have to interview. Just go to your phone and read the text.
The text was congrats and his family's excited. You know, his wife's from here and all that. So, yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's funny. It kind of makes me a little bit nostalgic and thinking about my career, just thinking about how Jarius and I, you know, were sitting in meetings with Jacques and drawing up plays. Ooh, this would be a sweet idea. Let's do this. And, you know, we won a championship together. We worked for a lot of years together. So now to think of him as a coordinator position, you know, it puts the duration of my career in perspective for me. So that was kind of my first reaction. But then just from a schematic point of view, you know, Jarius obviously played for Jacques for a lot of years. Then he spent a year, won a Grey Cup in Toronto, you know, Scott Milanovic, working with Jason Moss on that staff. So there's a good influence there that comes from the Trestman offense and all that. So he's been around that. And you could see a lot of kind of the combination of those things come out in Saskatchewan's passing game. I mean, there would be times last year when I'd be texting Jarius because I saw things on film that I remember, you know, I could recall us having done together in the past. So, you know, we've stayed in touch over the years. And so it's a really cool opportunity for him. And I think he's ready. And I think, it's a good offensive hire for our club.
A lot of players, when they're playing, especially later on in their career, you kind of pick up them maybe being a future coach. Did you see that in Jarius while he was still playing?
I did. Yeah. You know, he was a guy, he was the first 2-year captain in Notre Dame football history. Right. And so that's a guy who has leadership skills, guys, you know, rally too. He was a captain when I got here when he wasn't the starting quarterback, right? So, yeah, it just says a lot about a guy in a room and the way guys trust him. And obviously, a lot of those qualities are really important when you're communicating to guys all the time and you know, trying to get them to, you know, play out your vision as you see fit. But yeah, I mean, he's got the quarterback sense of he understands how to put the quarterback in a good position and played the position, so it's easily relatable. And having been in a couple of different systems, it just seems like the time is right for him. And yeah, just being able to kind of be on the same page. I mean, just thinking back to years ago, oh, this would be a good idea here, or here's why timing wise in the game, it would make sense to call a double move here. Now, just, you could tell he thought about those types of things and knew he wanted to be a coach. So, you know, it's a cool opportunity for him.
You love your football. You love your NFL at this time, too. I know you're into it. Which team do you look at right now, Travis, as a dark horse that when they get in, or maybe they're on the bubble, maybe it's someone like Green Bay, if they can sneak in, that you think can do some damage this year?
There's a number of teams. You know, it seems like this time of year, I always just gravitate towards quarterbacks and just picking teams based on quarterback play. But there's just a lot of, you know, capable teams. I still think, you know, even coming off of the loss in Jacksonville this last week, Seattle's got a chance to be kind of a sneaky team that maybe not everybody's talking about, but regionally we see them a lot and all those things. And Russell Wilson's just playing phenomenal football. You know, it's tough. And with Green Bay still being in the hunt and Aaron Rodgers being healthy, I mean, I want to see Green Bay play this week, right? Like, I just think that's pretty exciting for them. That could be this the type of jolt that they need here, you know, late in the season. So it's going to be fun to watch.
So you've been in that position before that Aaron Rodgers is going to be in this week, coming back from a pretty serious injury. What happens when you take that first hit? What is that the kind of, what goes through your head as a quarterback?
A sigh of relief, frankly. You know, to just feel your body react the way that you hoped it would. Because, you know, there's just no other way to simulate it, right? We talk about it all the time, and, you know, practice reps, obviously, it's extremely important to get your timing and the speed of the game, all those things. But when you get hit and you land on the ground and you kind of look around and I'm still okay, and you stand up and, okay, now I'm doing what I know how to do again, and I don't have to think, boy, how's it going to react and this and that. It's just it gets rid of that final seed of doubt when you get in there, take a hit, stand up, and are able to do it again. So I think that, you know, that's going to be the final hurdle for him when he steps back on the field. But that's ultimately that's the final test to say, okay, I'm back and I'm ready to do this.
Travis, sometimes I think, you know, when, and we've seen it this year with the star quarterbacks, although in Green Bay, Huntley's been okay, but Tom Savage in Houston has struggled. Why is there a drop with all the quality colleges out there that when you get to the number two guy in a lot of NFL teams, it's simply because of time and reps? That boy, you go, oh, man, they are not going to be able to live this down. They don't have their number one guy. The number two is really going to be a struggle.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You do see that a lot. One, I mean, the guy's the number one quarterback for a reason. You know, people say that a lot, and the backup quarterback's job is to come in and help the ship go the same way. Well, there's a reason that the other guy's playing. There are rare cases, you know, where, say, a guy's, you know, a veteran guy, or there really are two guys in the room that are trusted. I mean, that obviously does happen, but it is more often than not the case where, you know, I mean, we're talking about Green Bay. I mean, how is Brett Hundley going to step in and be Aaron Rodgers? He's just not, I mean, in my mind, Aaron Rodgers he's the best physical talent of our generation. And you're just not going to replicate that, particularly in a guy who's just a couple years in the league and hasn't played in big moments and all those things. So there's just a lot to be said for experience too. I think oftentimes the league is, there's so many new players coming out every year and everybody gets excited about the, you know, the next player, and he's got the biggest arm. That a lot of times there are guys who maybe are 4, 5, 6 years into their career who end up getting kind of pushed out of the league, who, you know, in a lot of cases are better players than they were when they played in their first or second year. But now that somebody else is in their first, second, or third year and hasn't played a lot, they're playing instead of those other guys. So sometimes the league's a little bit impatient when it comes to developing guys. So I think, you know, I think those things contribute. But the biggest thing is, those guys that are really good and have been longtime starters for long, they take a ton of the reps. I mean, in a lot of those old NFL systems, I mean, when I was in Seattle, Matt Hasselbeck took every single one rep, you know? So they're like,
you didn't get any?
No, the twos didn't take any reps during a week of work. I don't know how much that changes. I can tell you it's different in the CFL. The two in our system here in Wally has always thought that way. And maybe that's two, allow a backup to play a little better if and when he gets called on. You're planning for injury a little bit better or what have you, but they take about 25% of the reps during the week, 25-30% of the reps. So it's, you know, 75-25 instead of 99-1, you know. So there's a little bit, so there's all of those things kind of factor into play, into the two not being able to play to the same level as the starter.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the MVP race. Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, and Tom Brady were all in that conversation. Wilson had a terrible game on the weekend. Same with Brady, and Carson Wentz is now injured. Who is, I guess, your favorite for the MVP? Out of those guys or somebody off the board?
Hey, this is tough. This is tough for me. I was kind of leaning towards Carson Wentz, and then, you know, he gets hurt, and you just hate to see it. I mean, still, even after last week's game, Brady statistically has had a phenomenal year. Russell Wilson's the same story. I mean, it's potentially historic for, you know, being the first guy to ever have more than one season of 30 plus passing touchdowns and 500 yards rushing. No one's ever done. Like, those are still pretty historic numbers that you could argue for an MVP case. So I don't know. I don't know where it goes. And I still think there's enough football left over the next few weeks to kind of sway voters that way. But it's kind of an interesting thing. Like you said, it's shaken up a lot over the last couple weeks.
Yes or no answer. Johnny Manziel's in the CFL next year.
Who? I have no idea. If you're gonna make me say yes or no, I'm saying no, because I'm just kind of a skeptic when I hear a lot of talk until these things happen. I don't spend too much time thinking about it, but I have no idea where his camp's at. Sounds like there must be some interest from his party, being that we've heard that there's been talks with the commissioner and things like that. But I'm saying no until it happens.
Sportsnet 650.